The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Live from Gabe's kitchen table, you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box with Juan, John, Gabe, and Doyle. We're all here, motherfuckers.
We're good.
Man, that's hard.
Especially when you don't know why you're doing it.
It's because the fan is going,
yeah.
So it creates background noise. So the program that he uses to edit the software has a noise reduction like filter, but you have to get a slice like the noise that you want to get out.
So I'm going to get as much of the humming background noise out as possible.
And it's actually super
gotcha.
Simple.
What are we doing here, Gabe?
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 127 of Thinking Outside the Long Box. I'm Gabe.
I'm Tim.
I'm Doyle.
I'm Juan.
And on today's episode, we are going to be talking about Lion Forge's graphic novel, Bez Camp, which I was able to get 160 pages into.
Jesus.
I read the whole thing.
Yeah. I'm excited to see how it ends, but past that, I haven't gotten too far into it.
Spoiler alert. Abruptly. It ends abruptly.
Does it? So I can give a premise of it because I have like a basic idea of what's happened in it. So there is a society that has basically fallen out of technology. Like technology has become evil. They live on a planet that has been invaded by space aliens. And there's basically castes of people that do different kinds of jobs. And this one kid, Nem, is born into the warrior class. But what Nem really wants to be is something that doesn't exist. He wants to be an excavator, which is somebody that goes out and finds like the ancient technology. Oh, hi, cat. That goes out and finds the ancient technology to make the world a better place.
Question.
Yes.
So this book doesn't come out until September 18th.
Correct.
Okay. I just want to make sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
no.
Before we talk. No. I know. But I'm saying before we talk about it, we should let everybody know.
I think that's kind of like a generalization.
I mean, didn't
it just
Gabe
says
just kind of give it away?
It says spoiler
that's
alert.
A very basic. Yeah.
Okay. No,
that's
I know.
A very basic
I know. But
premise,
I'm saying
yeah.
In what we're talking about, if you want to wait, you should probably skip this episode.
Yes. Correct.
What is it called again?
We said that earlier.
Yeah,
well,
I'm
we
sorry.
Said it right now. It's called
Bez
Camp.
It's comic book stores on September 18th and bookstores on October
1st. And it doesn't 1st. End abruptly. I lied.
You want me to read the official thing?
Yeah, go for it.
It says, in the village of Bez Camp, laws, land, rituals, and warriors are sacred. The written word is banished. Nem, son of one of Bez Camp's strongest warriors, shows no signs of fire or strength. Forced to follow in his father's footsteps, Nem must venture beyond their village walls in order to save land from corrupted by the dangerous and toxic Krieg beasts. As Nem begins to see more of their planet, he'll begin to uncover the truth, the village's lies, and start to fight for truth.
Yeah. Sounds pretty spot on.
Pretty much. I think you think, like, it's a mix between, like, Equilibrium, Gattaca, and Cowboys in Space. I mean, they're not, like, pre-programmed like Gattaca, but everyone has their, like, roles in society.
Well, I mean, it's a...
You
it's
can't
a,
really get out of them.
It's effectively a caste system.
Yeah.
Like, you're born into it, and you have to, like, live within what you're born to, even if your skills and, like, desires don't mesh with that.
And they're illegal.
Yes. Like, writing is illegal. Like, finding any information about the past is illegal.
Technology is illegal.
So it's kind of like The Village.
Is illegal. Yeah, except for not an awful film.
It was so good. For me, it was that going
it's
way
just
off course.
The end.
It was good until the end.
Yeah. It's just the end where you're like, son of the bitch.
Well, I like the artwork. The artwork's nice. Yeah. I didn't read it, but I'm just kind of Google image.
It is a really cool
book. I had zero fucking time to read this book.
Very well drawn. Very well drawn, from what I can
no.
see.
He's at 100-something pages.
It's like 200-and-some pages long. Like it's a graphic novel.
Wait, 25 minutes?
No way, dude. I've been reading it for like at least an hour now.
I got through pretty quick.
I will tell you that.
I'm also reading it on my phone, which I've noticed takes me way longer to read things on.
I was reading on a much larger screen. I was reading on a tablet.
Oh, okay.
I will tell you that thank God I have fucking Gabe, because I, for the last two or so, how long have we been back? For 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
I've done nothing but fucking edit and crank out other fucking episodes, and he has handled almost all of the social media shit, which is fucking awesome. That's why I didn't
have time.
Literally before I got here, I was fucking editing the Sherilyn Kenyon episode, and so it's just been, I haven't had time.
Got a text message from Juan like in the middle of the week that was like, dude, I think I have enough content to put out an episode every day for the next 2 months. I was like, do it.
I mean, it feels that way for me.
Yeah.
I listen to all the episodes while I'm doing my deliveries, and it'll be like some bullshit that I also listen to. It's like, oh, Juan must have just uploaded this new TLT episode.
Yeah.
I'll be at the end of the route. Oh, there goes another one.
It was like Wednesday or Thursday or something, and I was, you know, I had caught up on like my wrestling podcast or whatever, and I looked at ours and said new. I was like, oh, okay, cool. I clicked on it, and I had like missed four episodes somehow. I'm like, yay! I get to listen to myself talk for 2 hours.
It's cool because they go very fast now.
Yeah,
they go except for the listener interaction stuff, which usually tends to go a little bit longer, but they go very fast now. Nice. So
I think it's good we still have like at least one fairly longer episode.
Mm-hmm.
So getting back on task.
Yes.
So this comic book, I feel like it looks like it's watercolored.
It does have that look to it.
I don't think it is, but it looks like it.
Maybe done in a digital style.
Yeah,
digital watercolors, giant air quotes.
Yeah, it could be like a Photoshop thing.
Yeah.
But it looks dope.
It does kind of look like that, huh?
It has a cool color palette. Like, I like, so there's this thing within the book called, they call it Cretian. Like, so all of their language is like broken down. So like when they say good, it's spelled like G-U-D. And when they say like they're talking about this juice that they inject in the ground that's creation, but they call it Cretian, you know, or like,
it's magics.
It's magics, not technology, even though it's clearly fucking technology. Like
a big ass syringe.
Yeah. But when they do it, everything goes technicolor. Like everything goes from like those kind of muted,
like normal earth, colors,
normal colors to like everything is bright and like covered in like rainbow colors and stuff like that. There's some really cool imagery in this book. So Lion's Forge does a lot of young adult stuff.
Yeah.
Do you feel like this fits into that young adult mode quite a bit? Because I kind of do so far.
I do. There's nothing over the top about it. It's very PG-13.
Yeah.
There's like one death, and it's not horribly gruesome.
And like, they swear, but since their language is broken down, they don't actually say like, instead of saying fuck, they say fack. You know, like they do, like they say, what's,
So they speak in like internet text language?
Yeah, kind of. They really.
Fuck! Fuck is the very worst word that you can say.
Isn't that from the movie?
Yeah.
Actually, like, I'm mad AF.
Well, they don't do like acronyms like that, but everything is foreshortened. Like they don't.
Yeah.
They use weird syntax and stuff.
I had a hard time figuring it out for the first like 10 pages.
Yeah, so did I.
The first 10 pages I read through, I actually stopped the first time because I was like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. And then when I went back to it, I kind of picked it up. I was like a lot less tired. I picked it up a lot more quickly. And then after that, it becomes like pretty fluid.
The way I actually figured it out was I read a page out loud. And like I just said everything phonetically.
Oh, fuck. Fuck. Fuck shit.
No, I just said everything out loud and read it phonetically and it made sense.
I got it. I tell my son to do that.
Yeah.
He tries to sound words out in his mind like that's somehow going to help him.
Right.
Like, no, you fucking have to say it out loud. That's how you get it.
Hannah.
You want me to? I'm reading this email and so I'm guessing the reason for this is it says Lion Forge strives to produce comics for everyone, representing and reflecting every kind of reader, regardless of age, ethnic background, sexual orientation, or gender identification.
That's cool. So they are like intentionally going for like the inclusive,
a softer
reader
version,
you know, scope. And I think that's really cool because a big part, I think, of what's missing in comic books today is so much of comic books is focused on like placating or pandering to adult fans, like fans that grew up with, you know, the Marvel and DC superheroes, and we want to keep them happy so that they keep buying their single issue, you know, comic books at the comic book store. But the reality is comic books will go away if like we don't start getting kids to
new readers.
Yeah. Like if kids don't start reading them, and not every kid is going to be super excited about, you know, the 70s era like version of the Avengers. Like, they're going to want to have
I'm not excited about that.
Yeah, neither am I. I don't think any of us are.
The one superhero team I can give a shit about.
Unless
it's in a movie.
But I mean, and that's the problem, is like, those movies aren't translating into comic books. So now let's try to figure out how to bring in new readers by telling new stories that they can relate to. And this is very relatable for like somebody that's in middle school or high school, because there's your
that your parents don't want you to do.
Exactly.
It's like your dream, but they just don't understand.
Yeah.
And it could get you and your whole family killed in the wilderness.
Maybe not that.
I'm pretty sure they understood
that. The first half of
that
is really relatable. Yeah, yeah. The second half is like, yeah, okay, I get it. We're in comic book territory. Yeah. So overall, what did you think of the book, Doyle?
Overall, I did like it. Like, it suffered from what I think a lot of comic books suffer, too. Is like, there's either a lot of – there's this big desire today to fit everything into a graphic novel-sized content. So I'm assuming this book's either coming out straight as a graphic novel or was like a five-piece – comic that one they wanted to end in an arc so they could have a graphic novel.
I feel like this is coming out just as like a graphic novel.
I feel like a lot of this like standard of writing today, I don't know, it just seems like a lot of stories are getting cut short or hurried up so you could have the bite-sized in your hand completed arc or story, which I don't like as much. And I think older comic books did used to get that better. Older writing used to get that better. Where you might have an arc that spans... You might have a guy calling
books.
Back
yeah.
for, you know, 10 years ago to his work.
So I honestly think that's life. Like, news is meant to be in quick sound bites. You know what I mean? It's meant to kind of... for you to be ingested really quick. Now, whenever you watch wrestling... You know, we always go back to wrestling, but... It generally, like an arc will last 1 month now.
Between
because
pay-per-views.
It's pay-per-view to pay-per-view. It's, where,
or even
as
like,
in the past, it used to be like a half a year thing.
Or the tendency towards prestige television, where like each episode, like each show has like a beginning, a middle, and an end story arc.
Yeah.
And if you don't watch all of them, you're missing part of the show. It's a big part of why I don't watch as much television.
That makes sense.
As I used to, because I just want to sit and watch something for like 2 hours and not have to know all the backstory. But even like a sitcom like Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which is hilarious if you just watch an episode by itself, but it still has like this complete storyline that if you haven't watched all of it,
you miss. That's why I love Seinfeld.
Yeah, like here's the overarching story.
I'm fine with it. I understand the reasoning for it, but you get a lot of comics that just get lost together of like, this to me is like, I liked it. Will I read it again? Maybe. Will I remember it 3 years from now? No. Whereas you take things like the Sandman storyline where it's like, if I ever have kids, I'll tell that to my grandkids.
Yeah.
Because I've gone through it multiple times and it's just this epic arcing storyline of like amazingness.
And it's so it's like a 50 issue
story.
So that
was my next question. How long did that
But even then
was,
I think you have
was
to
it like
extent today? But it's like people want to wrap up a story today in like five comics. And it gets to the point where there was a lot of buildup. Like 4 books of build-up or 3 books of build-up, which is good. I'm not saying
cheapters.
The comic is bad. Yeah.
It says chapters, but it's spelled like cheapters.
Because it is
to
good.
To like build into that same
but
language
all of a sudden
thing.
They're like, so okay, you have the society that's formed for what we learn is, spoilers alert, thousands of years on this planet. And in one ending, like a couple pages, they completely flip society on its head and change everybody's mind. It's like, you had a big build-up to that. And then just like it's very.
So do you think that are you blaming that on the reader? Because I kind of feel like not that that's what you're doing, but I kind of feel like that's what the problem is that most people now like one or two issues. I feel like because they don't want their money because there's so much content out there. Sometimes you're like, fuck, I want to try this. It's new. But then you go in one or two books and you're like, oh, fuck it. I'm jumping on to the next one. You know what I mean? You don't give a book a lot of time to develop.
That. It's kind of like issue one is a pilot now.
Yeah. I don't read books like that, but I understand that people do. But I was pretty hooked on it, the idea of the book in the first two.
Like,
I liked it by the first two.
Because
I liked it within
the
first, like, few pages.
I hear it a lot. Give a book 3-5 issues, whatever, you'll be fine.
And see, I hear that with television, too, and I hate that.
Right.
You know, give
the difference
give Outlander 6 episodes.
Oh, it's fucking awful.
You're talking about 5 hours.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Like, a comic.
You're talking about probably top end, like, a couple hours.
Well, but you're talking about... you know, $30 or $40.
That's
sometimes.
True.
That's the other end.
The difference, you know? I think, though, is like with Lion's Forge, they're like specifically putting out, like, this is put out as a graphic novel, and I wonder if the writing of it was originally intended to be like single issues, and so the writers were trying to create like that 5-issue story arc, and Lion's Forge just said, "Hey, let's just make this one thing."
To me, it felt very much like a TV show that gets canceled last minute.
Oh, that
it
sucks.
Was like, we're building up. They're not going to renew us. We got to end it here. Land the plane.
I fucking hate that.
A lot of it comes down to funding, too, because it's easier to fund a 5 or 6 issue story arc, even crowdfunded, than it is to like, hey, we have this really great idea for a 50-issue book. They're going to be like...
Or not even just that, like an ongoing series.
They're going to look at you and be like, who are you? What have you worked
like
on?
Like Chopra is a book that came out on Image as like, I want to say like a 4 or 6 issue mini. And it wasn't until that book was successful that they were like effectively allowed to do like an ongoing series.
That's Descender just now was the same way.
Exactly.
And that became something huge.
And there's ways that books can do it to get around it. Like Depth ended up, it's a comic I like, that ended up having a longer run. But a way that I tell that they were packing content in was at the beginning of every book, at the end of every book, they had like diagrams of stuff like built out that was in the world that you could see and like little notes of everything. So you would read the comic, and even if the comic was rushing a plot, there would be tons of little things that filled
like
in
back
all
matter
holes.
Stuff. Yeah.
I fucking loved that with Lord of the Rings. That was my one of them. They had maps and shit. The language was spelled out. I fucking loved it.
That's one of the things that I really loved about Bitch Planet is there's just an ass ton of back matter. Like each comic probably has an extra 4 to 6 pages of essays on stuff or things that fans have written or other art, and it like created this whole extensive world that didn't necessarily just dwell within the pages of the comic book.
And I think comic creators are gonna have to figure it out, because I do think it's probably the market driving the content, like what Juan is saying. But eventually,
always Juan is saying that.
It was just something I thought of as he was speaking, because we've talked about that before, about how people tell you, give it whatever amount of issues, but you're weighing that versus how much you're spending as a whole on the pool.
Time and
money.
And
so it's tough. It's a hard decision to make.
But I think you're right, but it's also to the point where you're just creating a bunch of meh content.
I agree. Like, I can agree with that.
The stuff that's not meh and crapped out is like Walking Dead. Like, you have a bunch of shit that's getting released in 5 arcs and canceled, or storylines that are 3 books long and then, you know, jumped off of way too early. And then, look, you got a book that's ongoing, what we thought could be forever.
but spoiler alert, is 193 issues. I'm just, look, really quick.
You don't have to go 193 issues, but maybe just 10 issues, 15 issues, or a bunch of back matter. Or like a director's, even a director's.
A website?
Cut would be fine. A website.
A website. That's actually a really cool idea.
Director's cut
is
comic
like releasing free, you know.
Oh, buddy, Cloverfield did that perfect.
Yeah.
Oh man, I was so obsessed with that when that fucking movie came out.
Because even if this comic had ended with them, like, if this comic book had closed like open ended, but there was a bunch of content like that online, you could go find of being like how it potentially could have gone for them. Like, I would have liked that way better than trying to tie a bow on it.
I wonder if some of that has to do with the creators too, in the sense that, like, you don't get a lot of people who push their shit like weekly. Oh shit, the new this is coming out today, or oh fuck, go buy this today. You know, I don't see it, at least. Maybe they do it, but I just don't see it
ton. No, I mean, we experienced that at San Diego. So like, this lady beckoned us over to her booth to like talk to her about her comic book.
You right? there, podcaster.
Pretty much, yeah.
Come hither.
She wanted him to look at her ass.
She showed us her butt. Like, it was pretty cool. She's actually really sweet. And then the guy next to us, like, immediately engaged Juan. He immediately engaged Juan because he was also excited about what he was doing.
Very.
The guy on the other side of her was giving me nasty looks. And like, the feeling I was getting from him was, why aren't you talking to me too? You know, why are you talking to them and her but not me? Because you didn't say shit to me. Yeah. Like, you have to like put yourself out there. Like, you have to engage like the audience. Like, you know, when we do our fan interactions, we have to engage that audience.
Oh, I like that. I was like, you fucking dog.
So like, I got to stop yelling at Juan about that. But like, seriously, like, like there's the there's this moment, like what you're saying, create that extra content,
right.
Put it out there, tell the world that it's out there and say, hey, if you think this is interesting, check out my comic book. And if you think this comic book is interesting, check out all the extra stuff I've
created. I wonder if they, because I don't know how big Lion Forge is. So I wonder if they have a little bit more like capability to do that and take that chance. Whereas if you did it with like Marvel or something, you probably they'd be like, all right, that's don't fucking do that again.
Yeah. I know Gene Ha is a big part of Lion's Forge. So is what is that? Ron Funches's cousin or something works for them too.
Stary Funch.
No, I just remember meeting him at Denver Pop Culture, not this year, but the year before. And his last name was Funches. I was like, oh, that's funny. One of my favorite comedians is named Ron Funches. He's like, yeah, that's my cousin. I was like, oh.
Even a guy named Funches. Not a lot of those.
I was like, that's pretty dope.
Get out of your Funches clan to me. There's eight of you.
So, like I said, I'm like 100 and some pages into this. I think a little further.
I think you should finish it.
I think I'm like 140 or something. I really like it. Like, yeah. It's just the only reason I didn't get it finished is time. Like, and it's a good book. Like,
it is. I haven't had time.
I do agree. I think the artwork's good.
I like the artwork a lot. Reminds me a little bit of Leila Del Duca's art.
Yeah.
So I literally was just thinking that when. So I was seeing
very
who
similar.
Jen Hickman and Samuel Satin were, just because I'd never heard of them before. But she does a book called Jem and the Holograms, and that looks very Leila Del Duca esque. Yeah. And so that's cool.
And I realized I did compare this to like one of the best series ever in comics, so I'm not like trying to be like every book needs to achieve this standard.
Not every comic book needs to rise to the level of standard.
It sounds like
don't
you
worry,
liked
that's
it, though.
Not going to happen.
Yeah, I did like it. Overall,
not
overall,
much can.
It's definitely like a. I give it like an 80 out of 100. Like it's a B. It's a solid B.
That's about where I was at.
And it's mostly, like I said, mostly it's just the abruptness of it, how quickly it ends.
You're not a fan just of, like, them trying to wrap it up super, super fast.
I just don't even think you had to wrap up everything you wrapped up.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, it just wouldn't happen that way.
Does it still feel pretty open-ended at the end? Like, there might be another volume or no?
There could definitely be another volume. It would be totally different.
Okay.
It would have none of the things that the first one had, maybe.
Okay.
But have you gotten to the point where they find the spaceship yet?
Nope.
Okay, then that's where I'll stop.
Hey, Gabe, guess what? They find a spaceship.
Well, I assumed as much because clearly the planet they're on is not the planet that they're from.
Yeah.
Like, that is hinted at many, many times in the very beginning. Because the moon looks like Saturn. Like, and that's pretty fascinating, too. So. Yeah.
Well, I did not read it because I have not had time, but it's...
Because you've been doing work.
B?
I would say about the same.
Okay.
Like a B+. Like, I love the art. Like, I'm a sucker for
Jen Hickman.
Like I said, I'm, you know, like Leila Del Duca or Tyler Crook, who does
I like Tyler
who
Crook's
does
art.
Come on, help me out, guys.
I can't remember the name of it either. Him and Hollow, Cullen Bunn.
So. Tyler Crook and Cullen Bunn. They do
we should know
the Southern Gothic one. But I love that, like, kind of watercolor washed out
Harrow County
that watercolor washed out like kind of color palette, and then the like simple line, you know, cartoon style drawing. I really, really enjoy
that. I think that's important to hit on too, because I think like with the early 90s and like the Todd McFarlane-esque era, a lot of comic books went to like super technically drawn, and
yeah.
It had to be this way, and that is cool. I do like that, but I like this like just more, it's not rushed, but it feels rushed in comparison to that.
It's cartoony.
Yeah.
It's not, but it's not,
even some comics are way worse than that. Like that comic I mentioned, Depth. It's not what you would call good. It's watercolored. There's some panels where it's like, that's not drawn very well. But overall, it starts to become awesome. Like his style is awesome for the book.
That's how I feel about
Same
Witches.
Same with Mind Matters.
Like
and stuff
Witches
like that.
Is like a book that I really
yeah,
struggled with the art, but the book itself.
Style.
Is really good. I'm not a huge fan of Jock.
He figured it out again.
So if you haven't listened to the panel that we did at Denver Comic Con with the exploring the Spider-Verse, Kari Randolph, they were talking about that on stage, and he's like, no, I don't remember the question was something about how they drew like Spider-Man, if he was, you know, if they should draw him more realistic. And he's like, no, my Spider-Man fucking puts his legs at weird angles. And so, cause he's like, it's cartoony Spider-Man. Like, it's kind of who he is. You know, and so I like that idea of it just being a funny looking book. You know, it's not supposed to be Sandman.
I mean, especially with the content being kind of at that like PG-13 level, like you don't need it to be like incredibly technical. Like it can look cartoonish, you know, because the story you're telling is a little softer than like most stories that you would read.
Well, it's easier to draw, and then you have a lot more creative freedom when you kind of tone down the realism.
Right.
So it's like, he can't bend his arm like that. Well, yeah, he can. He can. He can now. makes the swing of his punch look more heroic or epic or whatever.
And like the Krieg, the creatures that they're fighting, like they don't. They have like a set form, but they have
like sloths with spikes.
Yeah, they have like weird spikes coming out of like all sorts of stuff, and their spikes can like grow and shrink, and they can just draw them kind of however. Like, it's a really cool thing.
I like to think that their level of aggravation is based on color, too. Oh, it's going red.
It's going red.
Green. It's cool now.
He's calm.
I thought that was pretty fun, too.
Cool. Well, I mean, I think that probably wraps it up.
Right on.
Thanks, Lion Forge, for sending us a copy to review.
Absolutely. Be on the lookout for this.
It was very good.
When does it come out again?
September 12th.
All right.
So and then October 1st in bookstores.
So sweet. It'll be out at your comic book shop here in a couple weeks, like a few weeks.
You can pre-order a copy from Hall of Justice, probably.
That is true. You could definitely pre-order a copy from Hall of Justice Comics and Collectibles. And, of course, you can find out more about it. Oh, sorry. I'm getting hand signals from my wife that are not directed at me.
To be fair, too, you could probably pre-order it at any of your local comic book stores.
Right. But be sure to check out Lion's Forge. They have, like Juan said, they have a lot of, like, all ages and inclusive comics. They have a lot of really cool stuff coming out. Mm-hmm. They sent us May, probably like a year and some ago, and that comic book is a lot of fun.
For an indie publisher, they have a ton of titles.
And
during this conversation, I, like, Googled them. I was like, holy shit, they have a lot of books out.
they're going full tilt, like, that's for sure.
For sure.
Past that, if you want to know more about the podcast, be sure to check us out at www.totlb.com. You can find all of our social media through that, but most importantly, please go to our YouTube channel, tinyurl.com/totlbtube. Subscribe, and because we got a lot more content that comes out on YouTube.
And there have been videos that I haven't been advertising on both.
Yeah. So be sure to check out all of our stuff. We'd love to interact with you. If you have any opinions about Lion's Forge or any of the stuff that we've talked about today, be sure to come check us out. Hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever.
For the record, we have 66 YouTube subscribers. How many more do we need?
936.
But that's gone up. That's gone up too this week.
It went up a lot. It's gone up a lot lately, actually. We were at like 20 like 3-4 weeks ago.
So yeah, we're working it. Check us out though, www.totlb.com. We'll talk to you guys in a couple days. Bye.
Bye. That was Tim. I'm Juan.
I'm Doyle.
I'm Gabe.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast, Barren Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Barren Space production.